Amen. Certainly thankful for the messages that we've heard this morning. They've been in perfect harmony with what I already had on my heart, but I'm not going to be able to get to it. Not all of it, anyway. You're going to get the Cliff Notes of it, version of it this morning, I think. But I invite you to come back next Sunday. You might hear the rest of it. But I certainly am appreciative of, you know, if I'd have just said, well, you know, I've got a subject on my mind this morning and I really need to take the whole time, I could have done that. But look what you'd have missed. I'm thankful for these brethren that come among us. I'm thankful that we have the opportunity to share the time and let the Lord lead and just bless the meeting. You've been blessed already with two good messages, and I pray that the rest of the service will be blessed as well. But it is in perfect harmony with what we've already heard. And I don't have to go to Matthew 5 where Jesus said, "Let your light so shine before men," right? I don't have to go there. You've already heard that. You've got that point already, so that part of the foundation's already laid. But, you know, Jesus did say, ye. Ye. He didn't say there's a people. No, you. You. And I'm going to say you that are here today are the light of the world. Are you letting your light shine? Or is it covered up? You'll have to answer that. We get a clue from it. Those of us that interact with one another, we get a clue as to how much light shining. But you need to answer that. Ye are the light of the world. Are you shining? Are you shining? All right. We'll take you back to the Old Testament. In Exodus chapter 34. God had given Moses, God had called Moses up to the mount and had given him the Ten Commandments. You remember that? Ten Commandments. On two tables of stone. Do you remember what happened? Before he got back down, the people had decided, they didn't know what had happened to Moses. So they built them made them a golden calf. Well, actually, their spiritual leader, Aaron, fashioned them a golden calf. Now, there's a lot more to this story. God had told Moses, before he got down there, "Thou shalt not make thee graven images of gold and of silver." Do you think the Lord knew what he was talking about? Before he got down there, there was already a golden calf. And they were dancing around it. And, you know, Joshua said, "Well, it sounds like war to me." Moses said, "No, that's not war." All right, but I don't have time to deal with that. But when Moses saw what the people had done, were they a bright and shining light? Were they bearing spiritual fruit? Were they abiding in the Lord that had led them out of it, that had delivered them out of Egypt and across the Red Sea and had fed? I mean, were they abiding in the Lord? No. And Moses cast down those tables of stone and broke them. Broke all Ten Commandments at one time. Well, later on, you got to go quite a few chapters over, but God calls Moses back. This time Moses had to hew out those tables of stone because he broke them. And God was going to write the commandments again. But back in Exodus 20, do you know why the children of Israel never questioned the Ten Commandments as to whether it was God's word or not? Do you know why God never, the children of Israel never questioned whether or not Moses was telling them what was right? It's because in Exodus 20, God thundered his words from heaven. And the sound of it was so terrible, they did exceedingly fear and quake. And they said, Moses, you talk to God. We don't want to hear his voice anymore. It was so terrible. But here's what I'm getting to. I'm just laying the foundation. Got a few more minutes here. When he went back up, I'm in Exodus 34. Let's begin in verse 27. And the Lord said unto Moses, write thou these words, for after the tenor of these words I have made a covenant with thee and with Israel. And he was there, that is, Moses was on the mountain, and he was there with the Lord 40 days and 40 nights. He did neither eat bread nor drink water. That's quite a fast, wasn't it? I'm satisfied the Lord took care of him. Okay? And he wrote upon the tables the words of the covenant, the Ten Commandments. Now listen. And it came to pass when Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the two tables of testimony in Moses' hand, when he came down from the mount, that Moses wist not that the skin of his face shone while he talked with him. And when Aaron and all the children of Israel saw Moses, behold, the skin of his face shone, and they were afraid to come nigh him. And Moses called unto them, and Aaron and all the rulers, the congregation, returned unto him, and Moses talked with them. And afterward the children of Israel came nigh, and he gave them in commandment all that the Lord had spoken with him in Mount Sinai. And until Moses had done speaking with them, he put a veil on his face. All right, there's a lot there, but my point is, Moses' face was shining. Literally, his face was glowing. Why? Did this really happen? Is this cunningly devised fables? It literally happened. Why was his face shining? Because he had been right there in the presence of the glory of the Lord. The presence of the Lord, but the glory of the Lord. Now, we understand that the glory of the Lord, just our understanding, we know that his glory is far more than anyone else, that he is far superior in every aspect to anyone else. His goodness, his mercy, his grace, his love, even his wrath is holy wrath. And it's glorious. And not only is it glorious to our understanding, there is a physical glory that shines forth from him. And Jesus had it with him before the word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Go read John 17:5. When he asked, Lord, restore to me the glory that I had with thee before the world was. Jesus had it. James, Peter, and John saw it on the Mount of Transfiguration when he was transfigured before them and his glory shined forth from him. And they saw that glory. They got a glimpse of it. And I'm going to tell you something. I believe it changed them for the rest of their life. I don't think they ever forgot it. Peter talked about, we've not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. And he spoke about the glory there. In John chapter 1, verse 14, the word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. When was that? When they were on the Mount of Transfiguration. We beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. They saw his glory. But the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Well, it's up. Trying to find the short version of this. Why was Moses' face glowing? Because he was in the presence of God. Literally, his face glowed. Now let me ask you a question. And I'm supposing, I'm making a supposition here, and I want you to make sure that you understand I'm supposing here, but let me think with me. Think with me. Reason with me. What if Moses had gone up during the daytime and come back and slept in his own bed all those 40 days? Gone up and come back, gone up and come back, gone up. Do you think his face would have shone as much with just a little bit here and there? Probably not. But that's not the lesson here. You've heard a lot this morning about abiding in the Word. Remaining. You know, there's three powerful words in John 15. Abide, remain, continue. Moses' face was shining. Is it possible that our face could shine? Well, now, like Brother Richmond started out, you know, there's the natural and there's the spiritual. And oftentimes in the Old Testament, God gave us natural examples, but in the New Testament, they have spiritual applications. God sent physical judgment upon the earth. Okay? There's lots of times that he judges. There's lots of times that he purges. There's lots of times that we stand before, well, every day we stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Okay? That purging happens on a continuous basis. Yes, there is a fire coming that's going to burn up this world. But Moses' example of being in the presence of the Lord for 40 days and 40 nights and his face shining, I believe there's something there for us to take away from that. That the more we're in the presence of the Lord, the more shining will happen with us. It may not be the skin glowing, but your spirit. And when we've already heard quite a bit this morning about letting your light shine. Well, how can that light shine if we haven't been spending time with the Lord? And the greatest way that we can spend time with the Lord is having our nose in the book. All right? Or listening. You know, sometimes we got some time that we can listen. Brother Bridgman, you do a lot of driving, and I'm sure you do a lot of listening. All right? But we need, whatever it is, we need that exposure to the Lord. Now listen, Jesus showed that he also had glory. He showed James, Peter, and John. Guess what? James, Peter, and John were the closest ones to him. He had other apostles, but they were the, it's been called the inner circle. They had a closer relationship with him. And they were called up to the mount to see his glory. Let's see now. How could that apply to us? The closer we walk to the Lord, the more time we spend with him. And if you're having a problem making the translation between him and this, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. We didn't cease to have his Word, but there was a time when Jesus came to do what the Father sent him to do, and that Word, the perfect embodiment of the Word, the incarnation, all right, it happened. He came, he did in perfection the will of the Father, and then he ascended back to glory. But he left us his inspired Word. He left us his inerrant Word. He left us this Word, which is a thorough furnisher unto all good works. So we go from knowing the Word to letting our light shine, to bearing fruit, to being faithful, to whatever the case might be. We need, this Word is indispensable for us being a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we need, I tell you, this world needs. The world at large is never going to receive the Lord Jesus Christ. But for God's people who know who he is, who know what he's done, who know that this Word is above all words that we have. You know, sometimes a word is used to convey a principle or a thought. You know, the Ten Commandments sometimes are referred to as ten words. The Ten Commandments, the ten principles. God's Word contains all the tenets we need to be able to walk before him in a way that's pleasing in his sight, and that our light could shine, and that we can be fruitful, and that we can abide in him. That's our job. But it's our privilege, isn't it? There's a lot of people out in the world today doing other things and have no interest whatsoever in the things of God. That's just a fact. But you're here. Why are you here? I'm thankful that you're here. But it's because God's worked the work of grace in your hearts. Grace, unmerited favor. He reached down to us and touched and tendered our hearts. He works in us both to will and to do of his good pleasure. He doesn't make us go to church. He doesn't make us obey his word. But he teaches us, and his word works in us, or his spirit works in us, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. And when we follow the leadership of that spirit, we're blessed. And we are blessed to be in his house today, hearing his word and rejoicing in who he is and what he has done for us. Amen. And I hope that when we leave those doors today, that we carry with us some of that love and that remembrance of his goodness and his mercy upon us, so that our light can shine before men, that others may see our good works and glorify our Father which is in heaven. Did what Brother Bridgman said, herein is my Father glorified. That's the point. That's what we want to do as disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. That as the church, as his bride, and he is our husband, don't we want to honor him? Don't we want to be faithful to him? I mean, let's just take for a moment. What if a man has a wife who's unfaithful, who forgets all that pleases him and just does anything that she wants? That's not honoring to her husband. Well, we are that bride. We are the bride of Christ. The church is the bride of Christ. Are we honoring our husband? Are we showing love and thanksgiving and appreciation and devotion to him who has done everything for us? There's nothing you've needed that he can't provide and probably already has provided. We, as the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, we want to honor him. And how do we honor him? I've got a lot of thoughts here. We'll have to talk about later about how we go about some of the specifics. But how do we honor him? By staying in his word. By abiding in him. By having a thankful heart. By showing the mercy to others that he's shown unto us. By ministering grace to others. You know, grace is unmerited favor. We might have the thought sometime, well, they're not worthy. Well, neither were you. But God had mercy upon you. And God showed you his grace. And he's blessed us to know him. And he's blessed us to love him. And he's blessed us to love one another. And he's blessed us to love his word. And he's blessed us to love his church. And he's blessed us to try to be a disciple that honors him. Showing our love, not only to him, but one another. Bearing fruit. Letting our light shine. There's many ways that we can express how we love. Because Jesus summed it up by saying this: if you love me, keep. That's not now and then. That's not a one and done. That's a keeping. Keep. Stay in it. Stay with it. Honor him. If you love me, keep my commandments. That's simple, isn't it? I think everybody here above 5 years old probably understands that statement. Okay? So let's know what the commandments are. Let's stay with it. Let's keep it. Let's bring glory to his name. Not shame. Glory. That's what he deserves. Glory. He deserves more glory than we'll ever be able to show him. That's why he's given us eternity to praise him. And you know, my favorite definition of eternity is it's just long enough to praise God enough. It'll never end. That's how much praise he's worthy of. May God help us as his children to let our light shine. Let it glow. It may not be a physical glow, but it could be a spiritual glow. But in obedience and in love and mercy and whatever it is that we can do to be a blessing to those around about us. He'll bless you for it. He's just that good. That when we deny ourselves and take up our cross and follow him, when we try to do what's best, what's pleasing in his sight, when we make those judgments and those purgings so that we choose to do what pleases God instead of what pleases ourselves, he blesses us. There are blessings untold in being obedient to the word of God. May God help us to shine brightly for his glory. In his honor, it'll redound to our blessing. But we'll see more love, more peace, more joy in our lives. May God bless you is our prayer.